Penny Henlady, MP for Tāmaki Makaurau, Associate Minister of Health. Nā mahara mai anō, Penny, kia ora.
Kia ora, Dale. Kia ora, tātou.
Thanks for your time. Well, look, the first reading this week of the Paora Healthy Futures Bill creates a new environment. It's been a long time coming. I was just speaking with Rawiri. He said that they've always supported the idea of the establishment of a Māori health authority, but it's part of a sweeping reform that this government is involved in. Oranga Tamariki, DHBs, water reforms and the like. As the Associate Health Minister for Māori Health, Penny, talk with us about your views on why the Paora Healthy Futures Bill is going to be a game changer for our people.
Well, kia ora, Dale, and you know, the first thing I'd say is as we look to the COVID pandemic and the vaccination rollout, it continued to highlight the concerns that we've had with the inconsistencies of health for our communities across different DHBs. I've seen great examples of mahi and some very poor ones. So with the establishment of the Māori Health Authority, Health New Zealand, amongst others, what we're setting out to do here is to push the care back into our communities and into our whānau. What we know is that DHBs generally focus on their hospital services, but as you and I both know, that's too late. We need to be ahead of the game. We need to be able to change the way primary health care looks in this country. And I think that the Paora Bill is a really good start to show those changes. But I want to be clear, it does a lot of structural change, which is really necessary. But there's going to be a need for more sort of on the ground day-to-day change so that our people can see that those results are coming through. But I'm excited about its first reading, and I think I said in my speech in the House that I want our whānau to have a look at the bill and give their feedback in the hope that the bill that finishes at the end of the six-month process is a stronger bill than the one that entered in.
Thanks. We'll talk about the COVID situation in Tāmaki Makaurau. You would have a first-hand view of the stats and the challenges that we are facing. There's another big push going on this weekend. But this last 10% or perhaps slightly higher in Te Māori are proving very difficult to connect with. And although there's a lot of resource being thrown at it, seemingly numbers could be deemed disappointing. What's your take on where we're at?
Yeah, that's a really good observation, Dale. And what was interesting was in a rare admission from a Māori health provider that I won't name, they were quite clear that, you know, even they're struggling to connect with some of these whānau who we want to bring forward to get vaccinated. And that's just highlighting the challenge that we all have. But, you know, in Tāmaki Makaurau, I'm actually quite positive that we'll get quite a large number of our people and make the vaccine available to them. Yes, there's a surge and a need for a surge this weekend and over the next 4 to 5 weeks. But I've always been quite clear, and so too have the Māori health providers, that this is going to have a long tail and they'll continue to offer up the vaccine to our whānau even in the new year.
Thanks to commentators this morning who've been pretty dismissive of anti-vaxxers who've tried to tāhai our tino ranga teretanga stance by wanting to head to Te Ti Marae. They wanted to come through Tāmaki Makaurau, and obviously border control said, that's not on. But we do have many Māori who want to acknowledge the 28th of October. That's been ongoing for many years. What did you take from this sort of surge of seemingly Pākehā anti-vax supporters trying to get to Te Ti for whatever reason they harboured?
Yeah, look, I'm really disappointed that there are so many out there, generally a number of non-Māori, who are trying to hijack these kaupapa to push their own particular barrow, and that's a concern. I do see that there was a small gathering up in Waitangi, and, you know, I've been going to those whakaputanga gatherings for many, many years, decades, in fact, and I haven't seen that many Pākehā on that marae in a long time, which makes me obviously question why they're there. So, you know, I'm disappointed in that. But the other part of that is to our whānau and to my whānau, in particular up in Waitangi, you know, let's see through some of that rubbish and make sure that we continue to hold the tapu of te kawenata that we know as te whakaputanga.
Can you give us any sort of indication of how long Tamaki is going to be locked down for in this way? I know that we're seeking certain numbers, but people's patience is wearing thin, as you'd probably understand, and they want to sense that there is some light at the end of the tunnel. Are you able at all to provide us with some glimmers of hope?
Yeah, look, the vaccination numbers are rising really well, in fact, and I'm confident that when those numbers get to a place, we'll be able to open up Tamaki Makaurau. The thinking that's going on now, though, Dale, is yes, we need to open up Tamaki Makaurau, but we also need to protect those other places that haven't quite reached the 90% mark. And in order to do that, we've got to maintain somewhat of a border, but we can't keep our people locked in Tamaki. And, you know, I'm sure you, Dale, want to get back to the whānau, wherever they might be, and I know a lot of whānau who want to get up to Tai Tokerau to see their whānau. So we're working on ways to be able to allow people who are vaccinated and looking towards getting out of Tamaki Makaurau in the coming weeks to be given the opportunity to do that. So look, you know, the only answer and the ticket, as the Prime Minister has always said, is for our whānau to get vaccinated. Once that's done, we can start opening up.
Ka pai. Well, what else is on your desk? Anything from your defence portfolio, or is that sort of taken, been put on the back burner somewhat by this COVID challenge, Penny? Since you've been pretty flat out with the latter, anything off the defence portfolio that you oversee?
Oh, look, we've over the past couple of weeks had some pretty important meetings with my counterparts across the Pacific and Asia Pacific as well. Which has, you know, led to some really good discussions about how do those nations recover economically from the likes of COVID-19. You know, we know in the Pacific, for example, that we've got to be able to secure those people there to enable them to bounce back economically. And by that, I mean securing fisheries as well as making sure that they can open up to tourism in the near future, and how do they do that and do that safely. On top of that, Dale, I'm proud. I've not long gone past Ohakia Air Base, and we embarked on quite an ambitious program to build a particular infrastructure there to allow us to house some new planes that are coming online over the coming years. And, you know, it's a huge employer of locals and Māori, and it's absolutely fantastic. So, yes, defence is always there. It's never quiet. It just COVID seems to be taking all the limelight. But just finally from me, Dale, our defence kaimahi are working hard in the COVID response. Obviously, they're supporting in MIQs. They're supporting at the border. And, in fact, that contribution looks to be about 1,200 of our defence personnel, and that's, you know, a significant contribution.
And many of them Māori. What's the makeup, say, for the New Zealand Army? Have we still got a huge personnel Māori involved there, Penny?
Yeah, most definitely. In fact, I think the largest proportion in the Army and of the new recruits are definitely Māori. And they continue to, you know, in particular in the Army, serve us well. But, you know, there's quite a lot of Māori too in the Navy, and not so many in the Air Force, but they're growing their capabilities there. And it's really neat to see. In fact, as I've been around a number of the bases, the Māori footprint across those places is quite large and quite strong. And, you know, long may it continue.